Konnichiwa, minasan, Krim desu. Welcome to the 5th edition of J-Rock On. Yesterday, which was December 6th, marked the 1 month anniversary of this podcast. But actually, that was when I opened the account. I didn't start making a podcast till probably a week later because I didn't know how to work this thing. So now that I kind of have an idea, I'm still getting used to it, but whatever. The theme today will be J-Rock movies. I will be talking about and playing music from movies that J-Rock artists have starred in. So yeah, and hopefully my reviews or summaries will help encourage you to watch the movie in case you haven't seen it yet. I apologize for any possible spoilers ahead of time. Sometimes I don't even notice that I'm giving away spoilers, so I apologize ahead of time. Anyway, first up will be Hide and Tusk's movie called Seth et Horus. The English way of saying it, I guess, would be Seth et Horus because of the Roman G, so, and the way it's supposed to be pronounced. They're named after Egyptian god Seth, who is played by Hide. He is the more gentle one and more kinder one. He's more like submissive, I guess you could say. He's like really quiet. Well, of course, they're both quiet, but yeah, he's like got that meek kind of attitude. And Horus, played by Tusk, is more stronger and determined. He's more like more out there. He's willing to like speak up, which kind of got him in trouble because they live in a world called Atham, and it's a place of eternity. There's no time, age, or decay. They've been living there, and they're not exposed to the cruelty of the outside world, which is Earth. So the nun, well, it's not really a nun, it's just this big Egyptian eye that's in the center of Atham, and it banishes Seth and Horus off into Earth because Horus tried to question the nun. He was wondering, like, what is out there? What, there's got to be something more besides Atham. That's pretty much like a universal theme found in like most like movies and books, is that like, why are we here and why are we created? There's got to be something out there. There's got to be something more for us. And it's kind of like how people who aren't exposed to corruption, they're more isolated into like a more pure and perfect kind of world. And how when they stepped outside of those boundaries, it's completely different and hard to adjust to and hard to accept. It's kind of like that, I guess. And what's great about this is since they communicate through blood and they make love with their eyes. In the early part of the movie, you see Hide like sucking on Tusk's eyes, and it's pretty hot. And then I guess Hide went a little too much into it, and it caused okay, I can't call him Tusk because he's one who's playing Horus, so I'll say Horus. His eye needed an eye patch, so I'd say that Seth got really into it. But anyway, once they were on Earth, they had like no clue what was going on. They're like, what do we do? They had to adjust to the way life was there, and they had to learn how to interact with them. Their way of life was scorned by the humans. They didn't accept what they do, like their like weird behaviors and stuff. Plus they like gangbanged a girl, so that caused them to be executed. They were put into like these coffins, and they were like burnt. So they returned back to Atham, and I guess they didn't die, but once they got there, they had lost their innocence and their faith. So life in paradise or Atham wasn't the same anymore, not for Horus. So because of his time that he spent on Earth, he realized he was still doubtful. So he decided to take matters into his own hands, quite literally, and he destroyed Atham. I guess this destruction kind of symbolizes the loss of innocence. This movie leaves a lot of room for like you to decide like what's going on. It's kind of your own interpretation in a way, so I'm not sure. I could be wrong, so if you have a better interpretation than me, then go ahead and tell me. I don't care. It's a really good movie because it makes you think. And I like movies like that. I will play now the music box that that you hear at the end of the movie. It is sung by Tusk, and it was played by Hide. So enjoy. And that was the ending music to Seth at Horus, Tusk, who played Horus. He was from a band called Z-Kill, and Yukihiro from Lock and Ciel used to be in that band, so he knew Hide too. So that's a fun fact. Our next movie that we will talk about is Moonchild. Of course I was going to talk about it. I mean, I can't leave this movie out. I've had this movie for a long time, and I've never sat down and watched it, so I finally did. And I like it. It's really good. The plot is very interesting. Gakuto even wrote this movie too. And he asked Haido to co-star with him. And they made a really good duo. So here's the story. It's set in Asia, where Japan faces an economic downfall, and people had to scatter around and immigrate to another part of Asia. This story takes place in Malepa. It's a little street corner in Asia, and it's basically a melting pot where there are people who are Japanese, Chinese, Taiwanese, and they all have to live together. And it's kind of like, I guess you could say it's kind of like the ghetto, the Asian ghetto. Sho, who is played by Gakuto, he is an orphan, and he, as a child, he has to support himself along with his brother and his friend Toshi. They have to cheat, steal, just to get food and money to survive. And as a child, Sho finds Kei, who is Haido, and he sees him all weak and helpless, and he's not afraid of him at all, and he's trying to help him to recover, but Kei wouldn't allow it. And then they get into trouble, and then Kei helps them, and Sho realizes that he's a vampire, and that's where their friendship begins. Kei watches out for Sho, and Sho grows up and he starts going on a gun happy phase, and he starts along with Toshi and Shinji, who is his brother. They put drugs in pizza and deliver it to like Chinese mafias, and in order to, well, I guess get rid of them, because there's like a lot of like a strife going on between the different nationalities, so they're trying to like wipe them out. You would think that there's like a lot of action in this movie. Well, there is. There's a lot of like there's a lot of really good gun scenes. I mean, Gakuto is awesome. Like, he really puts his martial arts to the test here. He does like amazing stunts. Oh my god, I love it. The gun scenes are wonderful. But besides the action, there's actually more like drama. It's kind of sad towards their strong themes of friendship. You see how bonded Sho and Kay are. I mean, like how Kay watches out for Sho whenever there's a gunfight. He tells him which direction to dodge and stuff. It shows like how they have kind of like a symbiosis in a way, how they live for each other. And it shows dedication to the people he loves, like the only people he has. I mean, he doesn't have parents, and how he deals with his friends like Toshi and his brother Shinji and Yichi and her brother. So and there's actually a lot of Cantonese in this movie. I didn't realize that. I think they speak more Cantonese than Japanese, and Gakuto shows off that he can speak so many languages, because he speaks Japanese, Cantonese, and English in this movie. But there's a funny scene where he has this, I think he's Australian, he's one of his Australian friends, and he shows him a tattoo and he thinks that he's a ninja, and the tattoo actually says kitchen, but Gakuto plays along with him and tells him that, oh yeah, that's ninja. It's funny. There's so much tension and betrayal due to discrimination, and like a feel for like, oh, this is my territory. And it also applies to Kay too, because he's a vampire. He feels left out because he can't join in on the, like the merriment during the morning when he wants to be with everybody else, but he can't because he'll die in the sun. And Hyde's not that bad of an actor, actually. You can really like see the inner angst that he holds, the contempt that he has for himself because of his condition. You can really see that just by the look in his eyes. And plus, he doesn't do a bad job either in like the action scenes. I mean, Gakuto's just like flying around like everywhere, but Hyde does too, because he has like superhuman powers, so it's really cool. There are some funny parts in this movie too. Gakuto has some really like funny expressions. Plus, you don't have to like watch any like dance moves or anything like that in this movie. So if you like vampires, blood, angst, action, gunfight, and just Hyde and Gakuto together, I mean, that's really good eye candy right there, and that's pretty much good reason to watch the movie. But no, it has a good plot. But anyway, the next song is Orange no Tayo. Now, I'm sorry, this song is 9 minutes long, so it does have to do with the movie, because it is the song that Kay constantly sings throughout the movie. Since he's a vampire, he can't feel the warmth of the sun anymore, so it's something that he misses, and whenever he sings it, he feels nostalgia. Plus, it's something that his old friend left behind for him, that he used to sing to him. So, yeah, here's Orange no Tayo by Hyde and Gakuto.
雲と倒れていた無邪気な君のその横顔裸足で砂浜を駆け抜ける君が愛しい砂に書いた君の名前と飾りつけた貝殻は肩を寄せた僕らの前で波にさらわれた夕暮れに君と見たオレンジの太陽を泣きそうな顔をして永遠のさよなら青い空は息を潜めて赤い夕日に泣かれてゆく僕も君を抱きしめながら瞳を閉じたいくつもの喜びや悲しみを数えきれない出会いや別れもあの頃と変わらず優しく見てるオレンジの太陽永遠を夢見てたあの頃の僕らはいつまでも離れずに抱き合って笑ってた永遠のさよなら
Thank you, Haido and Gakuto, for decreasing the minutes I have left for this podcast. No, I kid. It was a good song, and I'm glad they did a duo together. Our next movie will be... Come on, you know the answer, and you saw this coming. Ore-sama! Yay! This is Miyavi's movie, back from 2003. Wow, that movie has no plot whatsoever, because Miyavi is basically the plot and it's just one big ego trip for him. I mean, come on, the name is Ore-sama, for crying out loud. I mean, that's basically what it's all about. And it's pretty funny, but I wish that there were subtitles so I knew what was going on. But still, you don't really need subtitles because Miyavi speaks for himself and you can kind of tell, kind of get the idea of what's going on. So, basically, he is in his van, and then he goes to sleep, and he travels back to 1984, back to his hometown, and he has, like, no clue what's going on, and, people are looking at him because he dresses weird, and, he pays with, like, different currency, and he's, like, wondering, why are there no schoolgirls home chasing after me? Why? What happened to, like, the big billboards and stuff like that with my face on it? And he sees, like, the TV and he notices, oh my god, where am I? It took him a while. But then Shinee, who is an aspiring rock star himself, so since they both have something in common, Miyavi helps him with, like, his gig and whatnot. And they perform together. And one of the best things too is that Miyavi meets his child self. Okay, along with the time travel, like, out of nowhere, there's also the fact that Miyavi was born in 1981. So in 1984, he should be 3 years old. But I guess since three-year-olds can't speak as much, they had to make him about, like, they had to get a kid that was about, like, 7 to 10 years old just so he can interact with Miyavi. So that was, like, the only, like, discrepancy in there. But it was so cute. And they played soccer together because Miyavi loved to play soccer. He probably would have, like, gone pro with that or something if he hadn't gotten an injury when he was younger. So it was so cute. And then there was this part where he goes to his old home, probably his parents' house or his grandma's house, and he's practicing how to say, like, oh, it's me, your son, or grandson. I'm trying to explain that, oh, yeah, I kind of, like, grew up. But he rang the doorbell and then ran away when he heard someone coming. It was funny. And if you notice in the concert scene, besides the fact that Miyavi does fan service with Shinee, they play Rodeo, which was a song that Miyavi did in his Duo Chords days. I think he wrote that song though, so so he has full rights to it, and I find it kind of, I guess symbolic that he also went back in time in a way, because he played an old song from his old days. I just know that I'm like, wait a minute, I heard this song before when I first saw it. And then after that song, he sung Eccentric Otona Yamai. I was really hoping to know, like, what that kid's name was. Well, I think they do say, but I doubt that it's Miyavi's real name. For the people who know his real name, they're asked not to disclose it, so we may never know. We all know that he's Miyavi-des. So yeah, I will close this now with our last song. Sorry, there's only three. Next time I will have a special, and I'll talk about that after this last song, which is the Orasama version of Ku Kwak Kluk Kukuru. So enjoy, it's a personal favorite.
Yeah.
And that was Kukwak Kluk Kukuru, the Ore-sama version by Miyavi. Tune in next time, because for the sixth edition of J-Rock On, I will be playing songs dedicated to Hide, because December 13th is his 41st birthday. Well, it would have been, so may he rest in peace. What some of us are doing is that 12 a.m. of the 13th of Yokosuka time, since that's his birthplace, we're going to like celebrate in some way his birthday. So like for me, 12 a.m. Yokosuka time, it'll be 10 a.m. on Monday, so I'll be like in art class and I'll just have a random bout of happy birthday Hide out of nowhere and just like scare my classmates. So I don't know, I wish I could like bake something. I don't know if I'll be able to go to the store, but yeah, I hope all of you join in as well. I'll provide the link so that you know what time it'll be for your end of the world. So yeah, I guess I'll talk to you again next time. I'm sorry about my melancholic voice. Halfway through this, I got yelled at, so I'm not feeling in the best moods. But anyway, sorry. So yeah, I checked my stats on my Podomatic, and I noticed that some people are like downloading like the MP3s, which is like cool. That's alright. I'm not like, saying it's a bad thing. And then there are like subscribers, there are more of them, but like no one's really commenting. I wish you guys would comment more and tell me what you think, because then there's no point of me doing this at all if no one's listening. Like, then I shouldn't be trying so hard. Or I don't know. So yeah, please leave a comment. I don't care how long it is. You can be just like, hi, nice show. Or you suck, I don't care. Just let me know that you're listening. So, this concludes this episode of J-Rock On. This has been Krim. Ja ne.